Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
It is Wednesday, December 15th. Welcome to Menace in the Morning. This is more Menace in the Afternoon. It's National Signing Day, though. There's a reason. It's National Signing Day, and we did not want to put a show out at 9 a.m. and then have a bunch of chaos happen, and we couldn't talk about it. Chaos, kind of like the Buckeyes losing a commitment to Texas. Terrence Brooks, the highest rated corner, a position that they certainly needed, more talent, right, and better production. They lose their highest rated corner, Terrence Brooks. So not only did they not go after Eli Ricks, they also lose their best corner they had committed, a kid that was committed for a while, flips to Texas. And I don't want to say concerned, but I'm confused what's going on with Ohio State and recruiting. I mean, this is not Ohio State's best recruiting effort. This is not a class that kind of rivals or is even in conversation with classes in the past 5 years. One by size and two by star power, right? I'm probably off on the numbers, but I ran for yesterday's show and for today's show and for tomorrow's show. I'm working on a kind of a roster breakdown, and right now I have Ohio State with 7 scholarships out there. And I know they're probably going through the portal hard. Mark Pantone even tweeted about it, but I don't understand what they're doing, Chris. I don't get it.
Yeah, and kind of as a recruiting guy, it's been a super, super weird year for Ohio State recruiting. The class is small, and they've struck out on a lot of guys. And I try to, you know, chill out a little bit because a lot of times I think to last year's class and how spoiled they were, even without the Quinn Ewers. I mean, they still had 22 commits. It was a number 2 ranked class ahead of Georgia and ahead of LSU. And they had, you know, the 6 5-stars, which obviously 5-stars in talent trends. I mean, we'll do a breakdown at some point, results in championships and appearances. So it is weird. You know, they're still the number, they're still a top 5 class with only 18 commits, but it feels like they struck out on a lot of guys. The offensive line class that needed to be strong this year was not even remotely close. You know, you want the DBs to class to be better so you can stack that as well as linebackers. That's obviously a concern. You strike out on some kids from out west. That's another concern. And then obviously the last day flip to Texas has got to be hyper frustrating, especially when you don't pursue a guy like Elias Ricks because you're worried about keeping the room happy. This NIL stuff, man. Like, this is the brave new world, and it's going to be like this for a long time. And the Ohio State boosters, they better get it together, Zach, because right now more than ever, there's going to be a landscape change of college football. And if Ohio State wants to remain at the very, very top, the premier of the premier, they need to be ahead of the curve this time and not behind it.
Yeah, I mean, that's for sure. And it's going to be the issue with Ohio State. And I've talked about it. Honestly, Ohio State's compliance is the biggest problem. Doug Archie's the biggest problem. Because I promise you right now, even though this is all legal, he is fighting tooth and nail from Ohio State doing anything like Texas is doing or Miami's doing or any of these Southern schools are doing with slush funds and base salaries. He is fighting it to the death. He's absolutely setting Ohio State back 10 years. And it's just reality. And Lane Kiffin even went off about it, that we have created free agency in college football. Kids are asking like, well, how much am I going to be paid at this school compared to this school, compared to that school? And it's absolutely the case. I've been saying it for a year now that this would happen. And the other problem is Doug Archie. That's the biggest problem at Ohio State. The biggest problem is not Ryan Day losing to Michigan. The biggest problem is not fucking Chris Holtmann not getting some 5-star point guard. The biggest problem at Ohio State is Doug Archie, because shit like this happens. NIL's legal now, right? Doug Archie will be the biggest thorn in Ryan Day's side, even if something is legal, they'll have some rationalization for why Ryan can't do something or why the boosters can't create a funder. That he'll have a reason for everything that will hurt the program. He honestly is the enemy. and he works, you know, behind enemy lines. He works within your camp, but he's the on the other team, right? He is the NCAA. Doug Archie is the NCAA. He is a perfect embodiment of what the NCAA, how they operate, everything they do. And he's making it impossible on Ryan Day.
Yeah, he's making it incredibly tough. And my next point is, dog, like, why would you even have that big of a compliance office with its fingers and everything when nobody's policing, Zach? Nobody's policing anything. There's these slush funds everywhere. Are literally going to coach, you know, going to programs by coming and get obviously still blocking Ohio State, but it's just like, why in the world are we even? How do we get rid of Archie?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the answer is. I mean, Gene Smith would obviously have to make a move, but they put Doug Archie in place after kind of all the shit they went through, right? Tattoo Gate, Maurice Claret having cars and sound systems and all the shit that was going on at Ohio State. They brought Doug Archie in to be the big bad wolf, right? So it's not necessarily his fault. It's what he was brought in for. They brought him in to be the bad guy, right? And so I don't know that there's an answer there outside of
but now
at
we
some
don't need
point, Ryan
guy.
Is going to have to say, fuck this, I'm going to go to the Bears if we don't get rid of Doug Archie or something like that. And then it'll be like, okay, whoa, time out. Don't go to the Bears. let's see if we can figure something out. But I'm excited, Chris, I wanted to mention this. I meant to mention it at the beginning, but I'm excited for our spaces on Twitter on Friday, 3:00. If you guys are interested, we'll be on Twitter in spaces, ask questions about recruiting, football, whatever, life. It doesn't matter. But I want to go circle back to the Lane Kiffin comment, Chris, when he said we've created free agency. And people started going off because this is what people do. They go off and they're irrational and ridiculous. About like, oh, but we're okay with coaches doing the same thing. And, oh, we're okay with you making all this money. It's like, time out now. First of all, nobody is okay with coaches coming in for 1 year, right? The equivalent situation, right, would be if I'm a receiver coach, I take a job, I recruit some kids, we go out that first year, and they all suck. And instead of trying to coach them the following year, and instead of trying to develop that room, I say, fuck this, I'm out of here. These kids suck. Like, no, that never happens. Like, the number of coaches that come in for 1 year and leave is, I don't know, 1%. When you take a job, almost 99% of the time, you're there for multiple years. Most of the time, I'd say the average tenure is 4 years for a coach.
Right, so which is freshman to senior.
And not only that, but don't even start comparing fucking players to coaches. Like, this is called what it is. Players are immature. They're young. They're 18. They're fucking idiots. They make decisions like that because their third uncle's telling them they need to be in the NFL. They're fucking idiots. Coaches are grown-ass men that make decisions that are based on, you know, actual relevant and important things, right? These kids are not just jumping in the portal to go make $5,000 extra somewhere else, and we're calling that adulthood. I mean, it's not the same thing. We absolutely are okay with coaches doing it because they're fucking grownups. They're adults. They can make decisions based on things that are relevant and applicable and important. Kids are making decisions because they're not playing. And it's like, what does that mean? That's like a coach saying, well, I'm not calling the plays. I'm leaving. It's like, what? You just work hard and you'll call the plays eventually. Shut the fuck up, coach. It's ridiculous.
No, you're right. Too many people are trying to make this about fair and about uneven, like this playing field. But like at the same time, you know, the same way our parents could tell us to do things growing up, but our parents obviously live by a different set of rules because they earned the right to apply to live by a different set of rules. Like that's simply it. They don't, you know, it's the same way why teachers don't get tardy slips for being in the hallways. It's because they've earned the right to do this and that. So to compare a coach to a kid, I think is super, not just disingenuous, it's disrespectful because it's like, no, these coaches 99% of the time are trying to better off their lives and a lot of times better off the kids' lives as well. And the transfer portal hinders their ability to do that. And that's where my big issue with it is. I mean, this is full on free agency. You know, it's good for empowering the kids in the short term, but really long term, I think that the quality of football is going to start to go down because all these transfers, you know, you're going to get less competition places, and these kids are going to have a tougher time being coached harder in the NFL. And that's kind of where I'm at. I think that this is generally hurting football as a sport. I do think that kids should absolutely, you know, be able to make money off their name and likeness. But the fact of the matter is that so much emphasis was spent by the NCAA in making sure that this didn't happen, to where they ignored the fact that they could have actually put together a system and a scheme for this to be better than it is now. Because right now it's the wild, wild west, and you almost don't see an end anywhere in sight. For the simple fact of the matter is, it's like kids almost have too much power, you know. I would ask my coach, hey, how many times did you transfer in high school? How many times did you transfer when you were in college? And a lot of them, 90% of them, will say none. I stuck through it. I learned it. I sat down. I grinded. And now a lot of that's missing. It's going to be harder to coach rooms. It's going to be harder to coach positions. And because of that, the quality of football is simply going to go down the longer this is like this. Should players get paid? Sure. Absolutely. Should it be a full-on, non-money cap, MLB on steroids, NIL system? Absolutely the fuck not. And if you think so, then you're not for the progression of this sport. Point blank, period.
Yeah, that's a fact. Well, the NCAA's fucked it up from the beginning. I mean, they needed to. All this needs to be going on. They need, like you said, players need to be getting paid. Like, they need to be able to transfer, but there needed to be better guidelines, better rules to make it not such a fucking chaotic mess. But how about this, Chris? This just came across my phone as you were talking. So you know Travis Hunter, the number one player in the United States of America.
Yes, sir.
They're now saying that he is rumored to be flipping from Florida State to Jackson State. With Deion Sanders. They're saying Deion's going to land the number one player in the United States of America at Jackson State. Can you imagine if he does that?
Oh, man. That'll shut everything down.
It'll be nuts. If he makes these HBCUs, I've said it about recruiting forever. A destination. And I've said it about recruiting in general. You get one kid to do it, and all of a sudden, it becomes a trend. People will consider it, but you just got to get that one kid. If he gets this one kid, Travis Hunter, it's going to change the game. I mean, it's going to change recruiting forever. He will start recruiting the national top 100, which he's never done before. So that would be insane. It would change the landscape of how everything works. And honestly, I'm kind of here for it. Fuck that. Why not Jackson State? And I know what his point is. You can go to the NFL from here. Like, you can go to the NFL from anywhere. And what, you're not gonna get coached well enough? He's fucking Deion Sanders, right?
Like, and you're gonna have the connections. I mean, they're gonna have some high profile guys at practice. I mean, he's gonna teach you. He's gonna have the NFL connections. And here's the thing, Travis Hunter's really fucking good. Like, he would be the number one receiver in the country if he wanted to. I mean,
he's a freak show.
He is an absolute monster. He can play a multitude of positions, and the kid's a baller. Wherever he goes, he's going to have the NIL deals, and he's going to – I mean, I hate doing it, but that kid is a baller and going to be in the league no matter where he goes to school, just straight up. So, yeah, Travis Hunter, man.
Nuts. It'd be awesome for Deion. I mean, I'm here for it. I'm here for all the chaos now. Fuck it.
Right.
We're gonna do all this shit and make it the wild, wild west. Let's go full on chaos mode. Let's let the number one player in the country sign with an HBCU and just change the landscape forever. But signing day's so fucking wild, man. And I've never really had any issues on signing day. Like, you and I were talking off air. The only kid I really had flip on me ever was Tyjon Lindsey, who flipped to Nebraska because they had that one DUI coach. I forget his name, Keith Williams, I think, or Keith Wilson. But either way, he recruited Tyjon and flipped him, did a great job recruiting him. And that's the only kid I ever had flip, but it wasn't on signing day. But signing day is interesting because it's talk about nerve wracking. Like, I'm looking at Ohio State's commit list right now. Gabe Powers hasn't faxed in his sheet yet, and it's 11:30 a.m. That's just insane. Like, that is. When you're a coach at Ohio State, like, you're trying to make sure your coach, the kids' parents, everyone knows, like, no, it's 7:01 a.m. That fucking paper gets faxed in. I don't give a shit what you got going on. If you got a signing day at your high school later, like, you can sign a fake piece of fucking paper. That doesn't matter. You are faxing that thing in at 7:01 a.m., just so we're clear. And
how was Urban on signing day? How intense was he?
No, he was cool. I mean, he was – everyone's calm on signing day. Main reason because – well, I mean, okay, so let's rewind. I've never been a part of the early signing day, right? First year that they had the early signing period, the December signing day, was my first year out of coaching. So it's only been 3 years, that they've had it, but I was never a part of it. So what it traditionally is or was, and they still have a signing day in February. It's just nobody really uses it outside of, like, you know, some of the top kids that want to be divas and take extra time. But what it was you had a mat drill in the morning, right? 5 a.m. You're in there doing a mat drill workout with your current team. And those are like, son of a bitch workouts. Like, those are grueling, hard workouts, like combative wrestling, combat drills where I'm trying to grab the tire, you're trying to grab the tire, we're fighting against each other to get it.
Toughness.
Like, just
the
fucking
famous, the famous Joe Burrow drills.
I mean, people have seen the videos, right? It's like the Navy SEAL type of drills. And so you have that in the morning, 5 a.m. So by the time you're done with that at like 6:30, you shower, you know, you're ready to go by 7. And then honestly, you just are in chill mode. You're just getting your guys to fax their shit in. Nothing crazy is going on. Every now and then you'll have like one recruiting battle, like Von Bell, that he announces on signing day. And he's such a great player that he doesn't have to tell you. Like, most of the time when kids announce, you already know where they're going, right? 98% of the time when a kid has an announcement. Vaughn? Huh?
Did you guys think you were getting Vaughn? Or
we had no idea. It was us in Georgia and Tennessee, and a kid lived right on the Georgia-Tennessee border. Like, we shouldn't have gotten Vaughn. I don't. Everett Withers just fucking, you talk about recruiting gangster, between Raekwon McMillan and Von Bell, how he pulled those fucking kids out of Georgia. I have no idea. But anyways, like, that's a rare occurrence. Most of the time when a kid goes on TV with the hats and shit, he's already told you if he is coming or not coming. And Von Bell was one of those assholes that was like, nah, I'm not telling anybody shit. Like, you're going to watch on TV. Like, motherfucker, he told Urban, like, you're going to find out when the world finds out. It's like, God, how do you do that? So that was always cool. That created some stress.
I'm sure Urban hated that.
Oh, hated it. Hated it. And, his Urban stories about some of these, like when Tim Tebow committed, Tebow messed with him and like was like, coach, I'm sorry. I wanted to call you before, but I really appreciate everything. And then like hung up the phone and Urban's like, what? And he's like calling him back. Tim's not answering it. And so he thinks that Tebow's going to Alabama because of how the conversation was going. And Tebow faked that the call got dropped. And so Urban's like freaking out at home. He wasn't even at work. And this is not signing day. The kid announced before signing day. And then the kid went on TV and Urban went outside with his son to play catch. He's like, I'm not watching this shit, because he thought he was going to say Alabama. And then he heard Shelly go nuts when obviously the kid picked Florida. But so there's an asshole every now and then, like Tebow, bona fide asshole, Von Bell, bona fide asshole. Like, some of those guys that don't tell the head coach where, if they're coming or not, they're like, no, you can find out on TV.
Hell yeah. People don't want to hear it though, that Tebow is an asshole. No, I love that. Now from my point of view, a fan point of view, signing day is never super exciting, but it is kind of funny, because usually, like, there's not a lot of drama for Ohio State on signing day. Usually it's other teams going through the drama. You know, and if there's drama on signing day, usually it's a bad thing. And obviously Terrence Brooks today is not something that you love to see, but I love it for recruiting. I'm excited to kind of circle back to this kind of as we see things go in and how the numbers kind of work out, because like your roster breakdown yesterday, this is a really important class for Ohio State to build off last year's class, and the numbers just aren't there in the trenches. And I think that's the kind of the number one spot. Where you see teams like, you know, Texas A&M and Texas absolutely just choosing violence today. I do have a question though. With the transfer portal, do you expect Ohio State or some other teams to maybe go less, you know, like that around 20 as opposed to 25, and then try to get like shit 4 or 5 portal kids? Because I mean, you're getting kids that are, you know, have been in a college program and then come in with you know, 3 to 4 years of eligibility left. Could that be kind of an option moving forward, smaller classes to leave room for all these portal kids?
Well, I was going to say that's kind of where I'm at right now. And I'm glad you brought it up, because I was going to bring this up. I think this is a legitimate
strategy.
It's a legitimate strategy, right? It's a decision by Ryan Day to say, listen, we could sign 24 kids or whatever their numbers. I had it at 24. I think they can sign, but we're going to sign 19. They thought, right now it's 18 because the kid flipped. We're going to sign 19 and keep 5 spots for the portal, right? Because you look at the trend in college football right now, like who is playing a quarterback that they recruited? I know Ohio State is, right? Clemson is, Alabama is, but outside of that, like Texas is going to have Quinn Ewers fall in their lap. Like, you can go get a first round draft pick quarterback out of the portal. You can.
Who was Michigan State's best player and maybe that guy who deserved to win the Heisman?
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. Without a doubt. Kenneth Walker III. I mean, and that's the trend nowadays. Now, and you know what you're getting, right? Because mm-hmm. the kid's already been successful at the college level. So I think that there's a legitimate decision to be made as to what the percentage is, because you still want to recruit high school kids, obviously, right? You still want to build that foundation, that development platform, the youth, like you want all of that. But at the same time, right now, if you're Ohio State and you're losing, you know, let's say Cameron Brown announces he's leaving, and or receiver, the receiver position, you have Jackson Smith and Jigba. In my opinion, you have complete unknowns after that. If you can go get a big time wideout, why would you not? Right?
Yeah.
Like if Jameson Williams is sitting in the portal, just look at what Alabama did. Like Alabama would not be in the playoffs right now if they didn't go to the portal and get Jameson Williams. That's just a fact. I don't give a fuck what anyone says. So I think for sure that's what you're doing if you're Ohio State, and really every school, because mm-hmm. look what Michigan State did to go from the bottom of the basement up to at least the second floor, right?
Yeah, and, I mean, shit, Alabama's about to go get that transfer kid from Georgia Tech, though. Was a superstar in high school, a late bloomer, committed to Georgia Tech, and now he's out. I mean, South Carolina, they added two, you know, plug and play immediate guys at positions of need. I mean, shit, go choose portal violence. Like, I am 100% with the portal violence movement. Let the guys get their NIL money, you know, and now it's time for them to gear up and play. They want to be playing the NFL, obviously. Yeah, go choose portal violence. I am a fan of going smaller classes and using the portal to get positions of need.
I agree. And I think that the biggest thing that people need to realize is this roster number is a fluid number, right? And you can, if you do things the right way, like Alabama does, you know, you don't need to be at 85 scholarships on January 1st or February 2nd or whatever the signing day cutoff is that you want to call it, right? You have time and you have attrition that you can plan for. Mm-hmm. So I honestly believe that you should sign a full class and then go get five transfer portal players, because you have to bank on the fact you're going to have five attrition players, right? Five players are either going to medical, transfer, whatever. Something's going to happen. You could get in trouble and get kicked off the team. Like, you never know what's going to happen. You have five kids that you can force it. And people think that's fucked up, but it's not. Like, if I have a receiver that's not going to play, he's not good enough. And essentially forced him to transfer. You sit down with him and you say, hey, listen, this is not going to work out. Like, you've done everything we've asked. We've been coaching you like hard as shit. And it's just it's not a fit here. And we want you to go somewhere where you're actually going to play. There's nothing wrong with that, especially now that these kids are making money. Fuck
super
that.
Honest with the kid. Yeah, it's the
talk. Now they're employees. But there was never anything wrong with that. But people get pissed. Like, oh, Urban's pushing this kid out the door. Nick Saban pushes kids out the door. Fuck that. It's for the kid's best interest, too. Both the school needs that spot for someone that can actually play there, and the kid should go somewhere that he can actually play football, not if he's not good enough to play at Ohio State. It's the best for everyone. You can have those conversations and push a kid out the door. Help him on his way, and then you can have five transfer portal kids. So that's what I would do. I would sign a full class, still go get me five transfer portal kids, and then I push five motherfuckers out the door. Or you just bank on the fact that someone's going to get in trouble. Someone's going to want to transfer on their own. And then you find the three kids that are never going to play there and try to help them find a home.
Yeah, I mean, shit, we've had, I mean, Watts is out. You know, your boy Craig Young is out. I mean, guys naturally will go transfer and they'll go on to play other places. Yeah, so
it happens all the time. Like Isaiah Pryor went to Notre Dame. I don't even know. I think he's played a little bit, but that's good. That's good mm-hmm. for him. He found a defense that he could play on because he's never playing at Ohio State. Some bitch was stiff as shit, but that's okay. He could go play in Notre Dame and prove him wrong, right? Shock the world.
Yeah, shit. The other safety left too. Went to go to Rutgers, I believe. I can't remember his name.
Brandon White.
Yeah, Brandon White. Yeah, he left too. He's the one that came in for Isaiah Pryor, because Isaiah Pryor was super stiff. Yeah. You are right.
Well, MVP.
Yeah, he did win MVP and then, you know, hit the dash because, you know, things altered. It's going to be a really interesting year. You know, I still think the DB room, they have a lot to prove. And you know, my first reaction when I saw the Terrence Brooks flip was a little bit of worry about Carey. Is that kind of signaling that Carey will not be back? Because, you know it. Carey wins these battles most of the time. Like most of the time, Carey wins these DB battles.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't. I, probably, I would say for tomorrow's show, I'll find out. I'll get more information on who's actually recruiting these kids, because when does Kerry win a corner battle? Like, this is all perception, public perception.
I thought Kerry won every corner battle.
Because a corner commits, it's like, oh, Kerry did a great job. It's like, who? Jeff Okuda? Motherfucker, Greg Schiano got Jeff Okuda. Like, you could go down the list. Like, what corners has Kerry ever signed? Right? Garyon Conley, Denzel Ward, Marshawn Lattimore, Ohio. Like, find me a national corner that Kerry went out and got, and he was the lead recruiter. Maybe, and I don't know, Denzel Burke, maybe.
Did he go get Sean Wade?
Sean Wade was kind of him, but that was really Tim Hinton's connection with Trinity. Like, he did get Sean Wade, but that was also Greg Schiano. That was also Tim Hinton worked Trinity so hard for over the years. And a little bit. He was involved. But I can tell you, I recruited with Kerry on Pat Surtain, on Tyson Campbell, like five stars after five stars, and Kerry didn't help at all. Like, I'm not saying he's the reason why we didn't get those kids, but he wasn't dynamic at signing them. It's not Kerry gets touted as some great recruiter, and I don't get it. I honestly don't. I'm not saying he's bad. He's just okay.
I'm guilty of it too. I you know, from the outside looking in, it looks like Kerry's great with the parents.
Yeah, but that's because that's what they want you to believe, right?
You're right.
You got to understand something. This narrative on who's good at recruiting, who does a great job, it is solely controlled by Ohio State. I'll never forget one time, I think it was 247 Sports, a guy that I talked to in recruiting, he texted me like, hey, you're about to get back-to-back Big Ten Recruiter of the Year. I was like, that's cool, man. I appreciate it. Like, whatever. I didn't really give a shit. But then he texted me back that afternoon and was like, hey, just so you know, it actually got vetoed at the last minute because your people at Ohio State told 247 that they wanted Kerry Combs to get it. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I work here. And like, they just told you that I shouldn't get it and Kerry should get it. Why? Because he goes to 17 high schools in a day and I go to 6. Fuck off. I'll out recruit Kerry Combs every day of the week. Like, you believe what you're told to believe. You ever heard that saying, Chris?
I have, and I do indeed believe what I've been told.
So, but you know, it is what it is. Kerry,
I love Kerry. You know, no knock on Kerry.
I'm not trying to knock Kerry Combs. Like, he is a good recruiter. People
on Twitter, you know, threaten to beat us up or you know, say that we were talking shit about someone or this and that. Just want to throw it out there that we both like Kerry.
Yeah, no, I love Kerry, and he's a good recruiter. I'm just saying, people make him out to be like fucking Corey Raymond, and it's like, Jesus, you have no idea what you're talking about if you think he's even in the conversation with. With any of the, like, with Ryan Day recruiting, or I don't know, you could name a dozen coaches.
Brian Hartline. Yeah, he's kind of viewed as like the DB version of Brian Hartline.
Yeah, right. Like, Brian Hartline's a much better recruiter. Tony Alford is, Tony's probably a little bit better recruiter than Kerry. But anyways, not trying to rank the coaches 1 through 10 in recruiting, right. but sometimes you got to be careful, you know, don't always believe what you see on TV type of shit.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see. That's all I got for the signing day, but we'll be monitoring it pretty closely, Zach, obviously, and keeping a close eye. I'm super excited for Spaces on Friday as well.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Spaces on Friday will be great. Tomorrow's show, the main show, Chris is going to come on, and we're going to have a full-on signing class breakdown and kind of extend and go more in-depth on the roster breakdown than I did yesterday, which I thought was good. But I want to really get into the weeds with it. I want to go through, like, now this – this O-line situation at Ohio State is terrifying. Just who they have, you know, next year they're going to be elite. They're going to be the best offensive line in the country or one of, especially if they get Justin Fry in to coach them, but beside the point.
We didn't talk about the fake offers from UCLA.
Oh yeah. I'm getting there.
Hell yeah.
But this O-line class scares me. I mean, I don't think any of the three kids coming in play at Ohio State ever. And I've only watched a little bit of film. I am going to watch some film on them for tomorrow, but, I just think stud, I don't know what he's doing, but yeah. So did you hear this shit? There's a guy going around to high schools wearing like UCLA polos and shit, offering kids, and he didn't work at UCLA. He doesn't work there. You talk about wild shit. I mean, from the shit that we've seen in recruiting, from the one kid in Colorado who announced his commitment to like Ole Miss or something, and he was selecting between 5 schools, come to find out none of those schools have ever heard of him or talked to him, and he had a full-on announcement commitment like thing in the media, in the news.
He faked it for a while. He got a 247 profile. Like, he was
247 profile. Bro, he was on, I don't remember what channel it was on, but he was on like national, he was on a national news broadcast when he committed. And he committed to Ole Miss, and the Ole Miss coaches are like, what the fuck? Who is that? I never heard of that kid. He just committed to us. Wild. But now they got a grown-ass man going around with a UCLA polo on offering kids.
Walking into fucking schools.
It's unbelievable. And honestly, like, how a high school coach doesn't sniff that out. Like, at some point, aren't you like, oh, let me look this guy up. Like, mm-hmm. I know I would. Should I? Absolutely. I looked up when I went into high school, I looked up a coach every time. Like, all right, let me look up, you know, so-and-so, the coach here, and just see what he's been up to. And I would go through his Twitter, social media, something just to give me a glimpse of who he was. And before I walk in the door, like, how do you not do that? But wild shit, man. I'm sure you can get arrested. That's got to be some kind of crime, fraud, or
you're trespassing in schools. Like, you can, well, trespassing too. In a school is a big deal, especially now with like the hypersensitive about you know kids' safety. That'll get you messed up, man. That'll get you messed up for real. Yeah, absolutely. Should. And these poor fucking kids who think they got a UCLA offer.
Right.
Just to find out it's fake. And obviously the article on it that you sent me was hilarious. It had like a question mark over Fry's face. It just kind of the joke of it. But Holy shit, signing day, man.
Wild.
What a weird time.
Wild, wild, wild. It's crazy. it's just the world, I guess. It's the world. What do you got, Chris? Anything else?
No, I don't have anything. You know, I did have some NFL talk, but I'll save that for a different day. People go in and on this and that, but no, that's all I got for today. Just shenanigans. I just keep looking over my phone to see Texas is continuing to clean up, and they're making it a run at that defensive end that's gotten all those crystal balls to Ohio State the past few weeks. Is now,
boy, hey, you know what? You know,
it's moving the Texas way. Holy smokes.
Crazy, craziness. But that is recruiting. It's always fun. It'll be interesting. I'm excited to have that conversation tomorrow on the show, because this is the landscape of college football. This is where you can predict what's going on and what's going to happen. What teams are going to be, you know, relevant nationally is through recruiting rankings. Honest to God, it's the truth. There's a reason why Alabama's in the playoffs every year, because they're the number one recruiting class every year, except for the one time or two times that Georgia has it. And that's why they're in the play. It's you always follow the recruiting rankings. And that's why Texas A&M is that team that is the next man up, and honestly, I think Clemson's, I mean, their reign is over. So anyways, thank you guys for tuning in. We'll catch you tomorrow with the morning show, and also tomorrow on the main show. If you could do us a favor, go leave a 5-star review, drop a question for Friday's mailbag. We will get to those on Friday. And then also, like Chris said, come hang out with us 3 p.m. every Friday on Twitter Spaces, where we just talk whatever. Talk bullshit, talk college football, talk whatever you want to talk about. So appreciate y'all. Menace out.
Menace out.